So we continue in this beautiful letter to the Colossians from St. Paul in our first reading. Because of our feast day for Our Lady's birthday yesterday, we didn't get the section just before this where he describes Jesus as the universal, the cosmic Christ, the fulfillment of all things for all people, how all things are in, with, and through Christ. This great universal picture, the salvation that comes to us in Jesus. And then in this passage, he goes to speak directly to those people in this church of the Colossians. And you, brothers and sisters, so now that we know who Jesus is universally, now you, brothers and sisters, who were once alienated and hostile in your mind because of your evil deeds. No fear there in reminding these Gentile converts of the reality of what they were, who they were, how they were living. You were once alienated and hostile in your mind, but now God has reconciled you in the fleshly body of Christ through his death. We are reconciled through the death of Jesus Christ when we are baptized, that we are entered into the death of Jesus Christ, so that he can present you holy, without blemish, and irreproachable before him. This is the desire, the will of God, that through the waters of baptism, we are rescued from our alienation and the hostility in our mind, so that we can be presented holy and without blemish and irreproachable. St. Paul is just so specifically and intrinsically pointing out to these Colossians exactly what has happened to them and what God's plan is for their life. And when we go to his letter to the Ephesians in chapter 5, that beautiful explanation and exposition of the mystery of holy marriage, he uses these same words to describe what Christ has done for the church and what the husband does for his bride. That his goal is to die to himself, to present his bride holy, without blemish, and irreproachable. But then St. Paul goes on to say, provided that you persevere in the faith, firmly grounded, stable, not shifting from the hope. So this is our response to this beautiful free gift of grace, this beautiful free gift of new life in Christ, is that we persevere in the faith with being firmly grounded and stable and not shifting from the hope. You've heard me say so many times that wonderful line from Pope Benedict XVI, that the one who has hope lives differently. And at the beginning of this passage, the beginning of this chapter 1 of Colossians, St. Paul reminds them of the necessity to have hope, which is the confident expectation that the promises of Jesus will come true, and that we can live in those promises today. That it's not something that we just hope for with fingers crossed and our knuckles clenched white, that one day we'll get to enjoy. But today, we remain firm, grounded in that hope, the hope that does not disappoint, that he would say to the Romans, not shifting from the hope which has been preached to every creature under heaven. Again, this universal application that everyone is entitled to hear, that everyone needs to hear this saving message of Jesus. Because until we do and until we are baptized, then we are alienated and we are hostile in our mind. That's the condition of the human person outside of Jesus Christ. And it's not something that we need to dwell on in misery and woe, but it's the reality. Because for those of us who've been baptized, those of us who've been saved from that alienation and that hostility, then we have an obligation to now be the messenger of truth, the messenger of hope, to go forward and to rescue and to save those who are still alienated and living in the hostility in their mind because of their evil deeds. This isn't just a reality 2,000 years ago. This is a reality for so many people today, living in an alienated life from Jesus Christ, most of the time because they've never heard the saving message of Jesus. St. Peter Claver, this wonderful saint who we honor today. Born in Spain in the 1600s, became a Jesuit, and wanted to go to the New World to save, to rescue the slaves, those African slaves who were shipped across the ocean to be lived the most horrendous life once they reached, and he was in now what's Colombia. He spent his life trying to rescue those who were alienated and hostile, not necessarily because of their particular actions, but because they didn't yet know Jesus. And he realized that he had the medicine. And so he would go to the docks, and these hundreds and thousands of slaves, many of them who are almost dead, naked, open sores, the most horrendous conditions you can ever imagine, he went right to them and began to minister them, pouring wine and oil to treat their wounds, finding whatever materials he could to build little beds for them so they would not be stuck in the wet mud in that horrible, sick condition they were in. And as soon as they would gain some consciousness, he would begin to talk to them about baptism and about Jesus and salvation, about the church and the Holy Trinity. He baptized tens, if not hundreds of thousands of people there on the shore because he realized the necessity of baptism and how dead we are without Jesus Christ. It's said that he lost his sense of smell and his sense of taste because of the horrendous conditions in which he was living. And so someone said about this saint that what he tells us is to be a saint, we just need a strong stomach and a bad sense of smell so that we can get to the dirtiness of the reality of sin and then bring them into the promise, the hope of eternal life. That's the hope of God the Father for each one of us, is that we remain firm in the faith, not wavering, but firmly grounded in the hope and the promises of Jesus Christ, so that we can go out into the world. And maybe we won't encounter the same conditions that St. Peter Claver did, but there are people who are dying all around us. There are people who are stuck in the slavery of sin with open wounds oozing from their alienation and the hostility of their mind because of their evil deeds. St. Peter Claver should give us the courage, the strength, the encouragement to go forward and to spread the message of Jesus, not counting the cost. When he would go to visit the other people, the leaders and the other priests and whatever else, he would sleep with the slaves. He wouldn't go into the bed that was made for him, into the nice quarters. He went to the worst places. The opening prayer reminds us of how he called himself a slave to the slaves. It should be the title that each one of us desires to put for ourselves. So ask St. Peter Claver for that courage to lose your sense of smell and your sense of taste, to have a strong stomach, to be able to go to those bottom places, to those peripheries that Pope Francis talks about. Who will you encounter today that needs to hear the saving message of Jesus Christ? Who will you encounter today that's lost with no hope, no faith? You have the great opportunity, the great commission, the great obligation to share with them this saving message, this life-saving message of Jesus Christ, the message at which we stand firmly and in which we have placed our hope.